to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf. Well, today we're going to be talking about some of the crazy weather we've had. And you know I'm always arguing with everybody about, hey, not just on those 90-degree days, you have to be careful about where your dog is. You also have to be careful about where your dog is on a day with a storm, on a cold day, on any day. Well, generally, it's not a good idea to leave your dog unattended. And I know personally of someone who actually emailed me in with a question. And the question to me was almost heartbreaking. Normally, we do this in the final segment with a viewer question, listener question. But today, I want to start out the show with this. Well, what do you do when you have a cute little fluffy dog and you've got a luncheon date with your friend and you haven't seen your friend in so long? And darn, you know, you brought your dog and you forgot. And, you know, it's 50 degrees, 60 degrees, whatever. So it's safe temperature-wise. But there's something you're forgetting. Depending on where you are, people will break into your car to take your dog. And that's what happened to this lady. She had a Shih Tzu who she just took with her, was laying quietly in a pretty major mall parking lot. She went in to get lunch with her friend. She came out and her window was broken and her dog was gone. Nothing else was taken, just the dog. That is heartbreaking. Now, why did you really have to bring that dog in the first place? I don't know, but I'm sure she and her friends will never, ever think of doing that again. You have to realize not only do you have to keep your dog safe in the house, in your car, but you have to keep your dog safe from people who might really want to steal your dog. Now, my dogs, my Ridgebacks, well, I've got Whispity Bunny Dog, who is the sweetest dog in the world, but I actually trained her, and I had a situation, and I'm going to share that with everyone, because I do have to take my dogs. I do have several of my dogs who I use as my service dogs, and I'm always traveling. I'm always out, so I don't like to put too much stress and strain on Wyatt all the time, especially if it's, you know, weather or it's cold, it's warm, too hot out. I don't want to have to drag him around. So I do use three of my dogs as service dogs, and they're all interchangeable. Well, this lady with the little Shih Tzu, and they never did find the dog, which is even more heartbreaking. This poor woman lost her dog. She doesn't even know where the dog is. Well, with the D-Bunny dog, I was at a client's house, and it was towards the evening. It was about 7 o'clock at night, and it was last fall. So the weather was fine. It was in the 60s or low 60s, high 50s. It was perfect weather. She had her blankie. She's all set. And I get a phone call from the police that my car had been broken into. And my first thought was, you know, I'm looking outside. I can see the car from where I am. I don't see somebody breaking into the car. Well, apparently what happened was somebody got a little too close to my vehicle because I do have a nice vehicle, and somebody thought that, let me break into it. It looks like there's nothing in there and nobody's been here for a little while, not knowing that I'm watching right out the window of the high-rise to see if anything's happening. Well, what happened was person must have walked by 4, 5, 6 feet away from the car like you normally would and then got a little nosy. And what did he do? He stuck his face into the, you know, right next to the window, and I can tell you exactly what happened. Whispity Bunny Dog said, excuse me, you are too close to my mother's car. Why are you sticking your face up to the glass? And proceeded to slam the window, which I do leave them kind of open a little bit, and I have those pop-out windows in the back, you know, like on an SUV. And Whispa hit that window with such force that it actually popped out, came off the little track, and hit this guy in the face. Now, you can imagine how close he was for a window that's not even 2 feet wide to hit him square in the face. So you know he was looking and trying to, you know, be up to no good and probably trying to break into my vehicle. I'm sure he'll never do that again. Well, the phone call from the police was this very, very stupid criminal who said, there's a vicious dog in the car. Well, I said, of course there's a vicious dog in the car. What were you doing that close to my car? Why were you looking in my window? Oh, I wasn't looking in your window. I said, well, officer, and there were two officers, I said, come over here, stand, you know, 2 feet from the car and look into the car from 2 feet away. Whispity did nothing. I said, officer, now come a little closer and go about a foot away as if you're going to look out the window. And, of course, by then I had popped, you know, closed the windows so that, you know, that she couldn't do that again. And the officer went real close and Whispity, all smoke and mirrors, but this guy didn't know that. Well, the cop turns over to this other fella who had the perpetrator who had called up about the vicious dog, and the officer said, excuse me, sir, why were you that close to this lady's car? What were you doing? It turned out he had one of those tools that you pop the doors open with, you know, you can open the door lock. It's like a Slim Jim, they call it. He had one on him, and he had broken into something like 20 cars, you know, in this area. And because he was stupid, I mean, goes on the all-time stupid criminals list, because he was stupid to call, he should have just taken off, but he didn't. So apparently he was trying to break into my vehicle as he'd broken into so many others, but he didn't expect a 90-pound dog with a set of teeth slamming into the window when he was trying to look into it and try to break into it. So they did arrest him. Again, stupid criminals. If you do something like that, people, and you're trying to break into a car and you get hurt doing it, really don't be stupid and call the cops. I have another really funny story with a couple of Ridgebacks from a client of mine who actually wound up buying a couple puppies from us, and I'll tell you that in a moment, too. So the goal is, if you came into my car with my permission, or if you're just walking by, my dogs aren't going to do anything. Why would they do anything? And some of them won't do anything anyway. But the key is, you don't know who's out there. Now, if Whispa hadn't been in there, and let's say a little cute little fluffy dog had been in there, that dog would have been stolen, would have been gone. Your car might have been gone as well. So if you love your dogs, as I know you do, please make sure that you keep them safe, especially not just from the weather, but from what other people might do. Are you aware that some people will go around trying to steal little dogs and puppies to use them for bait dogs for dog fighting? Yes, it's exactly what happens. And that's why if you're involved in a rescue or a shelter, you'll see people are very careful. We have entire lists of people, and a lot of them are women who do this for their boyfriends, who they'll either steal a dog or they'll go to a rescue or shelter or answer an ad on, you know, the internet or on Craigslist or something, you know, one of these sites where, you know, it's a free dog or a dog for, you know, $20 or something. You don't know what happens to these dogs. There's a lot of people out there who are really not very nice. And unfortunately, you know, you may or may not be one of the unlucky people who comes in contact with them. So we always talk about the weather, the temperatures, leaving water for your dog. But let's really figure out, why the heck are we leaving our dogs in our cars? Leave them at home. Leave them at home if it's warm, you know, if there's a chance. If you're not going to be with the dog, then why take a chance? Is it really worth the risk to take that chance that your dog may be stolen or somebody may hurt him or poison him or he may squeeze out the window? It's just not worth it. So I'm going to tell you a funny story when we return, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. And hey, Pam, I'll see you up there next weekend or weekend after next. I love to do the shout outs to my good friend Pam up in New York and all of our amazing United Canine Professionals team. We're going to be having our national convention again this year. And this year it's going to be in October. So if anybody out there says, you know, hey, Janice, I love what you guys do, and I really want to be a part of it, you can join our team. We actually train people. You don't have to have a background with dogs. You just have to have common sense and a calm energy. And we can train you. Yeah, it's not a quick thing where you learn in a week, like some of these fake courses, or you do it all online and you never meet anybody, because how are you going to learn about a dog if you don't work with dogs and people who are really exceptionally gifted with those dogs? But United, the letter K, the number 9, professionals.com, and go onto our website and click on all of our different programs, also merlinskids.org. You'll see all the different programs we do. And when I talk about all the things that we discuss every week, where we're talking about different nutrition and different behaviors and all, we cover all that and so much more. But we have people from Alaska, and we actually have 3 people in Alaska, to Bulgaria, to France, Florida, California, all over. And if we have an area open, we would love to bring you onto our team. It is a pretty detailed process. We only take about roughly 10% of the people who apply. So, you know, if you have a criminal background, don't even bother, because, sorry, we have zero tolerance for that. If you love dogs and you really want to change the world and maybe get involved even in learning how to train service dogs, but really in just rehabilitating dogs with behavioral issues, like today I've got to work with a dog who has bitten pretty much every member of the family, and they were going to euthanize this dog on Monday because the dog has just bitten everyone, and it's a large dog, 70-plus pounds. So I'm going to be going over there, and, you know, you can see everybody's a little nervous. They've already had somebody who called himself a behaviorist. They've had the Australian company who throws things and squirts dogs in the face. That's a great way to build trust and respect, don't you think so? Yeah, every time I see you, I'm just going to throw things at you and squirt you in the face with stuff. Nah, I don't know, not so much. But it's about really learning how to communicate with a dog or any animal on a very base level. You think about 2 little children from different countries who don't speak the same language, but they can play together. They can communicate together. They can have fun together. They can be friends even though they don't understand the language. They still understand the energy. And that's what the beauty of dogs is. So let's talk about energy, since I segued myself into this next story. I had 2 clients, wonderful people. They had 2 Ridgebacks, and they were looking to get 2 more. And so, you know, I put them through the ringer like I always do and spoke with them and had them come down. And they came when the puppies were first born, and they wanted the 2 puppies. So we were talking because, of course, I check everybody out, you know, 10 ways to Tuesday. And while we were talking, she said, well, you know, we have a really funny story, but it's true about our Ridgebacks. And I've heard other stories like this, but this one just takes the cake. You have a male and a female Ridgeback, you know, 90 pounds, 100 pounds, pretty good size Ridgebacks. So she has these 2 dogs. These were not of my breeding, but they sound wonderful. They were friendly. They were happy. They were lazy, like our Ridgebacks tend to be. They'll sleep until you need them, and then, boy, are they there for you. But they're not an aggressive breed. Yes, they do chase lions. They bay lions. But I'm sorry, as big as Wyatt is, you know, Wyatt would have a hell of a time trying to kill a 500-pound male lion. It just wouldn't happen. So instead of that, what Ridgebacks are bred to do is to bay, is to, like, poke, give a little nip or a little poke with their nose. And that's where my Ridgebacks, over the course of 30 years, have taught me how to work with dogs in a way that the dogs understand. So this nice couple went out for dinner. They lived in a very, very beautiful home. They did have an alarm. Well, what happened was Ridgebacks are very, very quiet. Normally, if you're in a house, there could be 2 dogs in there easily that you wouldn't know. And they're very stealth. They're very cat-like. So I'm not saying other breeds couldn't have done this. It just, this happens to be the story with this breed. So they get a phone call from the police from a man reporting that someone broke into their house and they were out for dinner. They, you know, together, they drove home, of course, very quickly. They got home, and what they actually found was a man on their countertop, on their phone, which had been on the wall. And basically what happened, and I'll try not to laugh too hard when I tell you the story because it is really hilarious. This man had broken into their house. Now, the dogs didn't bark because the dogs, this is a huge house, were in another part of the house. So this guy tries to break in. He comes up to, to steal stuff. He's got a, you know, sack, and he's throwing all the stuff he's stealing into the sack. When all of a sudden, the two Ridgebacks stealthily snuck around and cornered him in the kitchen. And then that's when they started woo, 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 baying and barking and lunging and snapping, not biting, but all that. And this guy was so terrified, he jumped up on their center island kitchen and jumped over onto their cabinets. He was literally on the top of the cabinets on the family's telephone in the kitchen calling the police on himself because he was so terrified. He said, I'm going to be killed. There's two vicious dogs. This is the address. So the police show up and they say, sir, what are you doing here? And the guy, you know, he was so scared. He's like, I was trying to break in. I didn't know they had these dogs. I don't want the dogs to rip me apart. I swear this is completely true. It's like when they told me, I could completely imagine Ridgebacks doing that. Because they wouldn't, well, I mean, not that they wouldn't bite if you try to hurt a Ridgeback's child or if you ever try to hurt me. Yeah, my dogs would probably tear you apart. But they're not like that. They know energy. So when this guy, thinking that the family was gone, and, you know, nobody was there, his energy was pretty calm, right? He was a little sneaky. But as soon as he saw that these two huge dogs were there, potentially going to tear him up, in his mind, he thought he was already dead. And so his energy changed. And once the energy changed for the man, for the human, the dog's energy changed. So now they were like, uh-oh, what are you doing here? And why are you here? And that's when they really started going crazy. So you have to think about energy because that is a very, very important aspect to what we do at United Canine Professionals and at Merlin's Kids. When we have you in a class and you're in with, you know, maybe 12 other people or 10 other people and we're training you, we want everybody to start focusing on their energy and how their energy can affect the dog's behavior. If you see, and I've done this a gazillion times, where I walk into a place and the people say, my dog never lets anyone in the house. Why is my dog lying down at your feet? My dog has never, ever done that. He's 8 years old. He's never done that. Why is he doing that with you? Because my energy is different. And that's what we're going to talk about in today's show, about how your energy can affect your dog's behavior and how your dog's energy can affect your behavior. And if you don't understand the part and the huge role that energy plays in animals, you are going to get yourself really hurt or really, really in trouble, and you'll probably end up with a goldfish instead. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf and Wyatt and Whispity Bunny Dog and Brandy Sman, and all of our dogs and all of our wonderful friends and all of the incredible people at United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids. You guys are just the best, and it's kind of sad because today's 9/11, and I was supposed to be on a plane going out to San Francisco on that fateful day, and I hear all the names of the people, and I do live in New Jersey, and I'm very, very close to only like 13 miles from the George Washington Bridge. And I watched that and watched, it was dark. I remember that horrible day. We do want to put out our best wishes and our condolences to all the families who have been suffering for 14 years and for our country who actually pulled together like it has never done before. May we always stick together no matter what our races, creeds, colors. Let's try to just stick together and try to make the people who we lost on that day proud of us, and all the military and veterans, police officers, fire, first responders who are always there to keep us safe, even though we don't know who they are. Very often we certainly don't know everyone who's ever passed away through the years, but God bless them all, and thank you all for doing so many wonderful, wonderful things. We do have quite a few people from United Canine Professionals who are in the fire service, police, or military, and we particularly thank them with today's show and dedicate ourselves and this show to them and to the wonderful things that they have done selflessly to keep us all here safe and healthy. So let's talk about energy, because today's energy is a little bit different because it is 9/11. Today I just wanted to really go into about how your energy can affect your dog's behavior, and how when you see something or you anticipate something, that this is why I told you these little stories. You think about the energy. If in the first story, the man who was trying to break into my vehicle when Whispity Bunny Dog slammed the window out, well, it's because of the energy that he had was a sneaky energy. Right from the beginning, he was up to no good. And people have written in very, very often and emailed and called and said, "Hey, Janice, why is it that sometimes my dog doesn't like certain people, but other people he's fine with?" That's the energy. We kind of think of it as a chemistry. It's a chemistry of what feels right. Like when you meet somebody and you see a person and your eyes meet their eyes, and they say, you don't even have to say anything because you've got that beautiful chemistry, versus when we see somebody, we look into their eyes, and as my good friend Janae in New Jersey here, we always say she's got the best resting biatch face ever. She's a beautiful person, but she did, especially when I met her, have a very different energy. Not at all angry or anything, but just a little bit more intense. And that's one of those things that you'll see. People who are intense sometimes can have a different energy. Then we have kids or like a veteran who might have some PTSD he's dealing with, who might have a lot of tension in the body and in their mind. People who have been victims of assault or abuse, same thing. And that's why I train dogs to detect certain chemical levels in their bloodstream and in their breath, and then the dog is able to calm those people down based on that. It's very, very interesting, and it's also a very, I think, important part of understanding animals, dogs or any animals. Like with horses, I have almost more horses than dogs, and I have a lot of dogs. But that's a part of the problem, is understanding how your energy can affect your dog's behavior. So let's say you have a child with Asperger's or autism. There's a different energy that's put out with that kind of diagnosis. Sometimes someone with cerebral palsy or somebody with Parkinson's or dementia, if you have ALS, whatever it is, all of those things, the neurological signs especially, can kind of mimic a nervous energy. So if someone has a ticking or a twitching, like in a Tourette syndrome, or a child who gets a little bit anxious in crowds, maybe who has Asperger's syndrome or autism or any of the other PDDs. You know, you have these different situations where that changes the energy of the human. And if you have a dog, and a lot of times, I swear to you, I think a lot of dog bites on kids are that the kids had a different energy and the dog didn't know what to do. I've seen so many clients, literally probably a couple hundred clients, whose dogs went after the grandmother or the uncle or the aunt. And the dog wasn't really, like, not that he hated that person, but that person had a different energy. So let's say somebody has cancer. Well, now my dogs are cancer-sniffing dogs, disease detection dogs. Yes, we train people to do that as well. And working in the school systems, we won a national award. We won several, actually. We're going to be announcing shortly. And also, one of the things is that change in energy can be scary for a dog who doesn't know what it is. So where Wyatt would go up to somebody and gently alert and maybe give them a little, you know, a little go around, maybe around their breath or, you know, their breathing when they're breathing or eating or whatever, and he could smell the difference in there. If he found what he saw as being something potentially like a cancer or something, Wyatt would gently touch that spot or center his nose around that spot to alert that, hey, Mom, there's something not right right here. That's what my dogs do, okay? But now think about it. A dog who doesn't have his own stable, calm, confident, kind of in-control energy might look at that same person and say, oh, no, there's something wrong with you. You're scaring me because I've never smelled that smell before. And they bite that person. So I'm not so convinced that, you know, we don't have a situation where a lot of times dogs are biting people because they have a different energy, especially if you think about little kids who have ADD or ADHD or, you know, other issues. That dog doesn't know, oh, yes, he has a medical diagnosis, so he's ADD, he's ADHD. All the dog knows is this kid moves in a funny way, and he doesn't understand, I don't want him near me. Even though that dog may be the best dog in the world, but there's something about that dog that he does not understand about that child or about that person. And that is why I can walk in, and a lot of our amazing canine behavioral team at United Canine Professionals have a different energy. And we teach you how to change your energy, because your energy does affect your dog's behavior. And your dog's energy will affect your behavior. So if you're walking, which is the next thing we'll be discussing in the next segment, if you're walking your dog and the dog is totally fine, and then all of a sudden you react before the dog does, right? Well, that's going to affect the dog as well. We don't want to set our dogs up for failure. Set your dogs up for success, not for failure. And that's what we do. We even trademark the phrase because we want people to use the phrase but to know where it came from. We are not obedience trainers, not that there's anything wrong. And I will tell you another thing in a moment about why it's our little brother. But we're trying to educate people. We don't care where it comes from as long as it's true and as long as people are understanding it and doing it the right way. And that's why we train people to do what we do. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you were referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf. So what we're doing is we're talking about some different situations with energy. The first thing I want to do is throw a big, big, gigantic shout-out to Noel and Melissa Hirsch, who have Wyatt's little brother, his littermate, one of the nine puppies, all of whom are grand champions or champions or have all kinds of titles. Well, Dillinger, it's Rambo's John Dillinger, and I think he's up to 30-something titles. So I couldn't even remember all the titles. But he is the number one Ridgeback and possibly one of the number one dogs, if not the number one dog, in Sinosport, and he's rapidly getting catching up to everybody because now he's just started with AKC. And UKC, he has got more titles, and he's got like three more titles than any other Ridgeback in history. In history, this is Wyatt's little brother, same litter. He's 7 years old and just making everyone proud. So, listen, I love obedience. Obedience is fun. I did that as a kid. I taught my dog, I had my little Scottish Terrier, Charcoal. I taught him to wait for a cookie. He would climb up an actual ladder, like four steps, because he's a little dog, but he didn't know that. Scotties are tough cookies. I would hand him the cookie. He would take it up to the top. And if any of you remember the game Mousetrap, it was kind of like this maze of different things, and this came around this way, and that fell down, and this went over, and this dropped into a cup, and the cup knocked the dominoes. And then Charcoal would get off of the ladder. He would climb back down, and he would wait till the cookie came back down through this elaborate gizmo that I had set up. And I guess my parents should have known back then I was going to be a crazy dog person who was going to do something different in the world. But then he would wait for permission, and I would say, okay, and he would take his cookie that he just had in his mouth that he dropped into this elaborate contraption that I made. So obedience is fun. Don't ever knock another form of training unless it's hurting the dog, like a lot of these crazy people with the shock collars and throwing things and, you know, yanking on their choker chains and prong collars. But you should never, ever, ever stoop to using any kind of angry mechanisms, like I say, because think of the energy. Even if you're using a prong collar on your dog and you never need to use it, that's fine. But the moment you grab that and you yank on it, which is how you have to train them, otherwise it wouldn't work in the first place, you're teaching them not to trust you. You're teaching them that there's going to be pain involved. And as far as, you know, with children, if you did that with kids, you'd be in jail. But for some reason, we don't have the same laws with animals that we do with humans. So thinking about energy, again, this is what the topic of today's session is. Today, we're discussing about that energy. Now, we always talk about trust, and we talk about how you can build trust with a dog and how we never want to lose that trust, because that's like if somebody has a spouse or a boyfriend, significant other, who cheats on them. Or you think he cheats, or he's really close, or she's really close. And now that person says to you, honey, I'll never do that again. Well, you know what? I don't know that I could trust somebody because you shouldn't have done it the first time. So if you shot your dog in the face with citronella spray, or you have these bark collars, right? Well, why is the dog barking? He's not barking because he just wants to hear himself talk. He's barking because he thinks he's in charge and he's got to provide for your needs and protect you. Well, that's why he's barking. Take the job away from him. Don't punish him for doing his job. That's like you getting hit because you gave somebody put somebody's IV in and they say, ow, you're hurting me. Well, okay, well, I'm just going to fire you and I'm going to hit you over the head with a 2x4. Well, no, that's my job. I'm supposed to be doing that. I know it's difficult, but I have to do that. It's my job as a doctor or as a nurse or as a, you know, phlebotomist, whatever. It's my job to do that job. So if you didn't have that job, you would stop doing that because it wouldn't be something that you were supposed to do anymore. So again, there's a reason for all of these things, and you have to understand, you know, what it is that is creating that problem in the first place. All right, so what we were talking about is, let's say you're going to walk your dog, and now as you're walking your dog, you are feeling, oh, you know, that looks scary. That dog who's right there, you know, is very, you know, is very aggressive, or, you know, I think my dog is going to do something bad. Well, if you think that that's going to happen, and you think to yourself, yeah, you know, I think this something bad is going to happen. You know, we really have to, you know, try to at least, you know, to not feel like that. You know, the problem is if you're changing the way you feel about whatever it is. So if you're already anticipating something being wrong and you see another dog coming and you grab up on that leash, your energy already changed. As soon as your energy changes, that starts out where, you know, now it's a problem. One of the things is that when you're changing your behavior and you're changing the way you feel, it's causing problems in the dog. You may not realize it, but it is causing the dog to change his own energy, like the stories I opened up the show with today. If you believe that, you know, that there's a potential danger, uh-oh, my dog might attack that other dog, or uh-oh, my dog might bark at that lady on the crutches, then your dog is going to do exactly what you think he's going to do. But if you teach him that that's not an acceptable behavior and you keep walking and obviously not doing this, if you think you're, you know, seriously got a dog who's, you know, a 200-pound dog with a 30-pound child, obviously isn't going to work. But the goal is to teach your dog through your calm, confident energy that, hey, you don't have to worry about that because I'm taking care of you. I've got your back, baby. So why would you worry about anything when I'm here to protect you and I'm here to take care of you? So when you're walking towards a dog and you have a dog who may be reactive, and I'm not talking about the ones that, you know, you really need to have me or one of our team members at United Canine Professionals come to, but I'm talking about the average people who have the average dogs who are a bit reactive or leash reactive to other dogs. Part of it is coming from you. Now, if you do have one of those dogs who, you know, who is a problem, you can call us. You can actually call me. I may not answer the phone, but you can ask for me. You can call us at 855-4K9PROS, which is 855-459-7767. And what happens is we will have, if you're in an area that I'm going to be, I can come to your home. Otherwise, you'll have one of our other 200-plus people around the country and around the world who would come to you and would teach you how to prevent that from happening. In other words, just imagine for a moment that you're trying to teach a dog to trust you, but then as soon as he sees another dog coming, you start running the other way. Now he looks at you and he says, geez, I've got a chicken for a leader. My leader doesn't even want to see if we can try to win this game. But you can do a lot of different things. You can fight. Well, we don't want to fight another dog. You can flee. You can run, which you don't want to see because obviously we don't want a dog fight and we don't want to run and let our dog think that we're scared. You can avoid, which is a really great option. Or you can submit, which means, all right, just kill me now. So we'll talk a little bit more about that, and we'll answer another listener question in just a moment. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo, to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy Goo, healthy.
Welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And we're talking about all these different things, and different opportunities. I also wanted to speak about when we're talking about potentially having you getting involved or getting help from us, we do offer a lifetime guarantee. That's the only way we do this. So when I work with a dog, even though it might have been 5 or 6 years prior, I'll work with that dog forever. And the reason is we're committed at United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids to making sure that once a dog works with one of our team members anywhere in the world, we'll make sure that that dog never winds up in a shelter or rescue or anywhere else where the dog could potentially be euthanized or be, dumped in a shelter or dumped in a place that he might be afraid, that he might not wind up coming out of. So again, so important for us to make sure that we understand why we're doing what we're doing. The reason that we're doing what we do is because we can. I can fix pretty much any dog out there. I've had about 4 or 5 ever, and they were all dogs with either brain tumors or 2 of them had an inoperable fungal lesion in their brains, which started because they were at a dog park. This is one of the other reasons I don't like dog parks. That ties into our question today about a lady who went to a dog park. I'll get to that one in a moment. But when you go to a dog park, you don't know what's there. You don't know if everybody else who's been there has gotten shots for their dog. Even if the people who are there, if you had one person who had something like with horses, we have a fungus, like a bacterial infection called strangles. Strangles is, it looks like a fungus. It's pretty disgusting. It can stay dormant in soil for like 20 years. So you can buy a farm that hasn't had horses on it for 10 years, but it's in the soil. They're like these little spores. Same thing, and that's what happened in Texas. We were there, and there were 2 dogs that went to the same dog park, 2 different veterinarians, 2 different owners. But because I was the behaviorist on both of them, I realized both of these dogs who, obviously just had been good dogs. One of them had been dog aggressive, but it had been fine for, a year or two. And then all of a sudden, these dogs, both of them became extremely randomly aggressive, but continually it didn't get better. It was getting worse. And it turned out they both had these inoperable fungal lesions that they had inhaled spores through their nose. They had gotten lodged up in the sinuses. Of course, the sinuses are a nice, wet, warm, disgusting place to be able for, a fungus or a bacteria to grow. And then it goes right from there through the palate. It goes right up into your brain, and that's what happened to these dogs. So let's talk about this, because here's our question for today. Dog parks. My dog recently went to a dog park, and we brought him home, blah, 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 okay. Several days later, he developed a very strange bout of diarrhea. We went to our vet. I'm just shortening this because it's a very long email. Went to our vet, who informed us to put the dog on chicken and rice or boiled hamburger and rice, okay, that's standard, and it's white rice. White rice makes things, just for your own knowledge, if a dog's bowels are not working properly, if things are not going through, you use brown rice because the husk on the outside of the rice, that is the brown part, will actually make things move along, as will pumpkin and butternut squash and some other things, sometimes sweet potatoes, anything with a lot of fiber. In this case, it would be white rice because the dog has diarrhea. He stopped eating. He's been very lethargic. Again, I'm reading through a very long email. My veterinarian asked where we had been, if we had been traveling to any other locations, and where the dog has been in the last week. We told him that the dog had not been anywhere but had been at our local dog park playing with some friends, but that was several days ago. Okay, so the idea being the veterinarian checked first, as vets are, good vets will always do, to see if you have traveled anywhere, because sometimes you can pick something up from a different area. It's the same exact reason why Native Americans died off when the Europeans came, because even though the Europeans had, you know, flu and viruses and bacteria and all kinds of things, they were immune to it or more resistant to it, but the Native Americans, they had never been introduced to that, and that's why so many Native Americans died just from, even if the Europeans hadn't slaughtered any of them, many of them would have died anyway because they didn't have the immunities the same way as other people would come from, you know, different areas. So one of the things is that there are things like in Arizona, like valley fever. We don't have valley fever in New Jersey, and they don't have a lot of ticks out there. So if your dog was a recent rescue, or if you rescued another dog, or if there was a dog who was a rescue who went a year ago or 3 months ago or a week ago to that dog park, you could pick up, potentially your dog could pick up something from that dog. Also, things like you have opossums and blackbirds and things, crows who carry things like ehrlichiosis. You have things out there like Giardia, coccidia. There are so many reasons that a dog could have something. So that's where, if you do have an issue with your dog, and, it, you know, this is why I don't go to dog parks, but this is where you want to get in touch with your veterinarian, a veterinarian you trust, who you know is good. Just like any other profession, there are some amazing, incredible veterinarians, and there are some really not-so-great veterinarians. I'd say in veterinary science, I think there are more, probably more good than bad, because most people are animal lovers. And seeing the future Dr. Jody Joseph, third-year Cornell, and being her study buddy and learning about things, and I know a lot, but learning about certain things with virology, bacteriology, immunology, things like that, you realize that, you know, you've got to be pretty dedicated to animals to be able to go through that. And it's really just basically you knowing and you feeling what that dog has, you know, going on. So when you have a dog who potentially has diarrhea, the dog isn't drinking or isn't eating or isn't defecating for a long time, not that you have to go running to your vet, but if it becomes, like if your dog vomits like more than twice, you should really be thinking of maybe getting to the veterinarian. Sometimes dogs in the morning will have acid indigestion, especially if you have kind of a nervous Nelly dog, a dog who thinks he's got to provide for you and protect you and take care of you. A lot of times they won't eat in the morning because they're nervous and because they haven't eaten since the night before, and some of them might be kind of nervous because, you know, here they are trying to protect you guys, and they can't. Sometimes a lot of those dogs will wind up with, you know, even vomiting bile in the morning. But if your dog, especially if you have a lab or a golden or a dog who tends to ingest stuff, if you have a dog who starts vomiting or doesn't pee or poop, well, pooping is more, I guess, more a little bit of an issue because of an impaction or obstruction, or if you have an unaltered female or male, sometimes there are things that, you know, an unaltered female could have different medical conditions. We won't go crazy into that. But just remembering that your dog can pick up anything at a dog park the same way as your toddler can pick up any germ at a preschool. So that's one of the other reasons I don't really believe in dog parks. But I would always defer to a veterinarian and your local veterinarian whom you trust, and say, listen, this is what's going on. I'd like to know if this is something that I should be worried about. So it costs you an office visit, but at least your vet will know what to do. So it's time to go. I don't know, this show already, it just flies by. But please, if you do need help, or if you know someone who needs help, or if you want for your own career choice to become a natural canine behavior rehabilitation specialist, contact us at United, the letter K, the number 9, professionals.com. That's United, K9, professionals.com. You can call us at 855 844-K9-PROS or 855-459-7767. Or you can contact us if you want to be a foster or a volunteer at merlinskids.org, which is 855-HI-WYATT. Yeah, it really is. 855-HI-WYATT is our phone number. And we thank you so much, and we pray for all the brave souls who were lost on this tragic day 14 years ago. God bless them. God rest their souls, and may that never happen in our history again. God bless.